Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, family. Good to see you guys today on our regular Tuesday. Yay, we've gotten back on our Tuesday. Hopefully it'll stay, but you know, if it does not, I will kind of do a little add-in and let you know when I will be here. I am so glad to see you guys today. I am on my regular channel, Racism. Well, it's called Our New Reality, but I'm on Racism in America, okay, because, you know, when I get on the Racism in America, you know, as we already talk about America, right? We already talk about some good stuff that I don't want to talk about on Our New Reality, okay? So, not trying to confuse you guys, but I want you guys to like and share as you come in, because we are going to talk about something that's so important today, okay? And it's going to be like a two-part, okay? We're going to do this show today, which is talking about the fatal police shootings of unarmed black people. Revealed troubling patterns, okay? We want to kind of look at that, what's really going on, and then next week we're going to talk about our brother also, okay, Ozone, okay? Because I really, welcome, and I want you guys to like and share. Welcome, Grand Rising, welcome. Thank you, Philip, I love you, thank you, you always go support, I love it. And this is teamwork, family. I cannot do this by myself. I don't even want to try to do any of this by myself because it's too hard and it's too much work, okay? I don't like to work hard. At a certain time of life, you should be kind of, scaling. You should kind of slide through, right? But I do want us to talk because I think that our brother is needing some help, okay? And I'm going to talk a little bit about him, but I'm not going to get it all the way into that until next show, okay, the next show, which is next Tuesday, okay? So we all know the title, and we all know that our police force has been infiltrated. Am I correct here? We know that. It's been a known fact. We see people that get out of jail that's been in jail for, 30, 40 years, and then 45 years, and then we see, oh, they're not guilty, or they were the report, they lied on the report. Now, we can hear that all the time. And even with the Breonna Taylor case, they lied to get the warrant, right? So our so-called police, so-called race soldiers, so-called Proud Boys infiltrators, okay, that's what I call them. They've been the police officers who've been infiltrated by the Proud Boys, okay? So when you act like a terrorist, what do we do when our so-called protect and serve act like terrorists? Are we to continue taking it? Are we to, what do we do? What are we to do? I don't understand because I'm trying to understand when do we fight, and I'm not condoning violence. I would never condone violence on this show or any other show, but I do believe that we should take care of ourselves, defend ourselves. When we have Proud Boys who've infiltrated the police and they acted like thugs and they're acting like terrorists, do we continue to allow them to murder us, or do we at some point, when we know that our lives are being threatened, when we know that when they show up that we're going to die, when we know that when they show up that it's a possibility of you never, ever coming home, dying possibly, and a lot of times you're unarmed, we're unarmed, but we're still dying, right? Okay, what do you do with that? At what point do you fight back? At what point do you say, look, I am not going to allow you to hurt me. I am not going to allow you, me not to be allowed to make it home to my children, okay? We all have children that's relying on us. We have, if it's not, yes, we have two parents, but sometimes that man is not doing or that woman's not doing, so that child sometimes has that one parent. So at one point do you say, okay, today is not the day, okay? Because from my understanding, the police officer was off duty for one, okay? For two, he called in Charlie 777. Who knows what that means? Philip, do you know what that means? Let's see. Welcome. Does anybody know what Charlie 777 means? We need to find out, okay? Because that police officer, to me, was getting ready to do some dirt, whether we know it or not. That police officer was getting ready to do some dirt. I want to read something to you. It's going to be kind of long for you guys. I'm going to need adults to be here. I want you guys to hang in there with me. Because we need to decipher some things so we can see what needs to happen with our brother. Because I do believe that because our police force or our Proud Boys and infiltrators has a known record of murdering unarmed black people when they come to the scene, it's a known fact. You see it everywhere. Now I'm getting ready to show it to you, okay? Some are on the force who have come from other forces who've had trouble as far as before. Okay, they try to say Ozone had a record of family abuse or something. I'm not sure, but some of these officers have been arrested on violating them being violent. Okay, on drugs. Some have murdered other people on other forces, quit and come to another force. Some have charges that they as far as violating somebody else's rights as far as abuse. And some are on drugs who, I guess, went to rehab, and they're probably still on drugs. Some are not even fit. Just like we read with Tamir Rice, that officer was not even fit to be on duty. Okay, he was not fit. And he lied about the last job he had because he got fired from the last job and didn't put it on this new job application. So they didn't even check, so they didn't even know. So they're not even checking. If you're white and I say so, they're not even checking to see if you're fit, okay? So we're kind of dealing with some raggedy policing, okay? That's what it's called, raggedy policing, okay? And it's because I'm white and I say so, they're not even, because you applied, come on, you can come. But if I'm black and I'm trying, I went through hell, and I did back in the day. I went to the police academy because I thought that was my dream job, okay? But after I got in the academy and I saw what kind of bull crap was going on in there and how, I mean, they taunted. When I say taunted, it was me and a Mexican girl, and they taunted this Mexican girl. And, I mean, I was looking. I was like, oh, my God, I'm seeing what they're doing to her. I'm looking at it. Other people are looking at it. Other people are talking about it. But they're like, well, better her than me. And that's exactly what some of us were thinking, okay? For me, I was like, man, when they get done with her, you know, I'm like, well, maybe they'll keep on, you know, maybe she'll just keep them off of me, because I knew that once they got rid of her, they was going to come after your girl, right? And I knew that, okay? I'm trying to look up troubling. Hold on. Because I really want us to read this, pattern. I really want us to read this because I don't want to take a whole lot of time talking, because I really think this is important. Because we have to, at some point we have to do something. Charlie told me when I Googled a few weeks ago, it meant clear the emergency airways. I had a degree. Okay. With a brother online, he said it meant emergency backup. Okay, let me ask you a question. Why, if you had just gotten there as a police officer and you had just encountered this brother, okay, how do you know it was going to be an emergency backup? So were you planning something to take it there? Were you hoping it was going to go there? Or your behavior, your attitude, okay, because a lot of black men ain't taking a whole lot of crap from nobody, okay? If you're disrespectful, they're going to deal with you. You already know that, right, Philip? If somebody come to correct with you, you good. But if they come bad, if they come the wrong way, we're going to handle our business. Black folks just don't believe in being disrespected, okay? You're not going to let no white person come to you. I'm not going to let anybody come to me and be disrespectful, okay? Your child, my supervisor, I don't care who you are, you got to be respectful, okay? And I'm going to read a little bit of this, and it's a story that came out, and Cheryl W. Thompson wrote it. And it says, police fatal shootings of unarmed black people reveal troubling patterns. I want us to understand the patterns of what we're seeing. It's not normal, family. It's not normal. And I'm hoping my internet will stay connected. I've been having some problems. I've called it in, and they still, you know, so if we go off, we're coming back, okay? I'm hoping it's going to stay. I tried to hotspot it, but I don't know. It wouldn't let me do it. So y'all bear with me today, and I'm hoping it's going to do well, so I'm going to get in and out. So we can hang on to the internet, but if it goes out, I'm coming right back, okay? Y'all bear with me, hang in there with me. Blog Talk, welcome. Thank you for joining. I do appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. But I want to talk about at what point, okay, this police officer thought he was, in danger? He called the emergency before he even kind of dealt with the brother, or when he asked the brother to get out of the car, or when did he call for Charlie 777, okay? But I want to just talk about a little bit more, because that's going to be a story for next week, okay? Okay, let's say Ronnell Foster was riding his bicycle, okay, through the harsh street of Vallejo, California, one evening when a police officer noticed that the bike had no lights and that he was weaving in and out of traffic. Now, this brother got stopped riding a damn bike, Oh, a bike. Hold on. Let me read your stuff, Philip. I'm going to try to read a little bit of it, but I don't want to get too off focus. Okay. I see. Okay. Okay. So the officer, Ryan McMahon, went after Foster with light flashing, with his sirens flash, with his light flashing, siren blaring, and the car spotlight pointed directly at him, okay? Foster stopped. The pair exchanged words before Foster, who was on community supervision for a car theft conviction a month earlier, fled, eventually ditching the bicycle, okay? That means he ran, right? Okay, let me ask you a question. Why do most black people run? Is it fear, or are they scared of dying, or they know the result, okay? This cop stopped him. He was on a bike because he didn't have a light, okay? Now, we're going to find out later what happened to the young man. Because he didn't have a light, the police officer stopped him. He ran. So what happened? Let's read, okay? The two struggled. McMahon, a rookie on the fourth, used a taser on the father of two and struck him several times with his department-issued flashlight. Now, he not only tased him, but he got his flashlight and he was beating him. And so how do you do that? How do you beat a person with a flashlight and you tase him at the same time and you fight him? How are you doing that? Gunfire erupted, okay? Seven shots. This brother who was stopped for a bike violation or not having a light on your bike is dead. He got shot seven times. What in hell? I'm going to try to be nice, okay? This is why I can't do stories like this. What did he do? Why was it okay? What was the threat? When you first stopped this brother and he ran, for one, he could have been running for his life. When Ortho and that police officer, when he heard him call 777, he did what? When he called 777, he knew it's getting ready to be on. This brother is calling his backup, and either we're going to handle our business, I'm afraid for my life because he was escalating it, or, you know, you could, all kind of stuff was probably going through Ortho's mind, okay, at the time, okay? Because I could just imagine if I was there, when a police officer get behind me, I'm doing nothing. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm praying, okay, because I'm scared. And we shouldn't have to be scared when a police officer get behind us. We should not have to be worried about this terrorist behavior, okay? At what point do we stop the terrorist behavior? Because they do what you allow them to do, right, black family? They do what we allow them to do, okay? But we can stop this at any time, and it's not being violent. It's holding your money for real, okay? But let's keep reading, okay? So several shots fired. When it was all over, Foster, 33, lay dying in the bushes in a darkened courtyard near an apartment complex, okay? Did you hear me? He was shot several times. He was struck several times with the department-issued flashlight. Gunfire erupted, seven shots. Okay, that's how much he was shot, how many times. Now, another story. Florida County District Attorney, okay, Kanisha Abrams, K-R-I-S-H-N-A Adams, declined to bring charges against the officer, okay, who is white, saying the February 2018 fatal shooting of Foster, who was black and unarmed, was justified. Okay, why was it justified? Tell me, how did that officer, if the guy didn't have a gun, he didn't have a rock, he didn't have a stick, he had nothing in his hand, you had the gun, why the hell was you feeling threatened? This guy didn't have anything. He was unarmed. It's in here in the story, say he was unarmed. So why would you feel threatened if he's unarmed? Because he ran? I'm getting out of there, too. I would run, too, because most of the time you end up dead or you end up beat, then you end up dead, okay? Just like the one brother, Green, they beat him. Then they lied to and killed him. Then they lied to the family and said, oh, his car ran into a tree. Remember that one? Okay. They lied on the report. All of them should have been arrested, and nothing happened. And the one killed himself. But it had, three other officers were there. Why weren't they arrested for lying on the report? All three of them lied on the report. Okay. February 2018, fatal shooting of Foster, who was black, unarmed, was justified. Now, that district attorney or that DA needs to be voted out. In a January 31st, 2020 letter to the Valera Police Chief, Abrams said that Foster posed an immediate and extreme threat to McMahon and that it was objectively reasonable for Officer McMahon to defend himself and open fire on Foster. Tell me why. Why? What did he do? What did Foster do that was so threatening? I saw he ran, okay? Then the officer caught up with him. And the officer was beating him. What was Foster to do? Foster still didn't have anything in his hand to cause this officer harm. The officer had a taser, he had a baton, and he had a gun. He had three things that he could have used before he reached that gun. Okay? Looked like he used his taser. Did he use his baton? No. He went straight from the flashlight. He used the taser. Then he shot him. What happened to the baton? He could have took the baton and hit it. Okay? My thing is, when is it that, what do we do, okay, doing all this? You know that he's calling for backup, and you know that I'm not doing anything for him to call for backup. So in my mind, he's getting ready to do some mischief, okay? He's getting ready to be mischief, okay? He's getting ready to do some devilish stuff that is going to cause some pain. And this is Foster. I'm going to show you a picture of Foster, okay? That's Foster. That's the guy that got shot seven times by the officer, okay? That's him. Did he deserve it? Some black folks said, yeah, he should have ran. If you got stopped by the police, would you run? Fear is fear. Okay, sometimes you get so fearful, just like what's the little boy that ran, the 19-year-old DeAndre, God, what's the little boy's name? He ran. Oh, he tried to. And the woman police said, taser, taser, and shot him twice, or shot him, yeah, twice, I think it was. When her taser is yellow and her gun is black, and she pulled a black gun and held taser and shot the boy and said, ooh, I shot him. You knew what you was doing. Come on, you ain't, come on, we're not stupid. We know, we do know our colors. We learn our colors back. In what? Kindergarten? Preschool? I'm just saying. Okay. 1 year later. Okay. This is 1 year later after Foster got shot. Okay. Same police officer. 1 year later. This time, the slain man was an expiring black rapper. Remember the rapper that got shot? He was in the car. He was asleep at Taco Bell, right, in the car. We're not talking about, what was the other, Rashard Brooks. Okay, that's two people, okay? But that wasn't by the same officer. Willie McCoy, who was sleeping in his silver Mercedes, a CLS 500 outside the Taco Bell, shortly before 11 p.m. on February 9th, 2019. An employee called 911 to report that McCoy was slumped over the steering wheel and blocking the driveway. When McMahon, this is another officer, the same officer, okay, and another officer arrived, six in all, why did you need six police officers for one man who was in his car asleep? Answer me that. One of them spotted a semi-automatic pistol on McCoy's lap. Okay, McCoy asleep in the car. Okay, he probably, who knows, he I don't know what he was thinking, but he had a gun. They say, I don't know if he did or not. Maybe they thought it was a gun, okay? As McCoy slowly awoken, he moved his hand to scratch his chest. How do you know he moved his hand? What was he? You say he scratched his chest. According to the report by the expert the city hired to review the shooting, okay? Officers believe he was reaching for the gun. Okay, was that his left or right hand? The gun was on his right hand? Okay, but if you raise in your hand to scratch, that means your hand is empty. You can't tell if his hand is empty or not. Okay, when he's going to scratch, you can't tell if he got a gun in his hand or not. Come on, you guys. Let's be intelligent. So they fired. Listen to this. They fired 55 shots and 3.5 seconds. McMahon said he fired after believing that the officers and residents were all in imminent danger. They know to say that. They know to say that. Why would you have to shoot somebody 55 times? But the little girl that had a shootout with the police, who was 14, they shot her one time to stop her, right? They didn't shoot 55 times. How many other black and white men do they shoot 55 times? Have they ever shot any unarmed white men? Have they ever shot? Well, they hardly shoot any men with gun, white men with guns, armed men. Look at Kyle Rittenhouse. He was armed. Didn't get shot, okay? The one that killed the Asian brothel, that went and killed those people at the Asian brothel, he had a weapon. How many times did they shoot him? None. How many times did they shoot the Walmart guy who shot up Walmart, who shot up the nightclub? How many times did they shoot? These guys had guns, okay? When the police arrive, they have guns, and they never get shot. But these unarmed brothers, when police come, why is it that we can't get the same result? Why is it that we cannot, they can't come and approach us the same way they approach armed white men? These brothers are unarmed. And some of them are getting stopped, like for Lando Castillo. He got stopped for what? A taillight. And he told the police, I have a weapon in my car in the box here, right? So police, okay, took note of that and told him to get his ID, and then bam, bam, shot him. You told the man to get an ID, he reached for an ID, you said, oh, I thought he was reaching for a gun. How you thought he was reaching for a gun? I don't understand. See, they tell you anything they want to that's going to get them off of being murdered. So that's going to allow them to kill for free. Okay? And a lot of these officers, you're being told in the academy what to say. Okay? I thought my life was in imminent danger. That is the key word. Imminent danger. Imminent danger. That is the key word. That's the key word that they've used. That's the key word we're going to use too. And I feel also thought that his life was in imminent danger. That's why he had to do what he had to do. I'm just saying, okay? So let's get back to this. He said he thought he was in imminent danger, okay? It was a very, okay. Officials cleared him over his role in that killing too, So that's two people, this same officer shot. Two people, okay? He got cleared in both cases. Okay. This is why they keep doing it, because they're not being held accountable. Okay, let's see. But he was fired on September 2020 for violating department policies during the shooting by engaging in unsafe conduct and negligence for basic firearm safety, a department official said, okay? He was fired after the second shooting, but they didn't fire him for what he should have got fired for. Okay. It is very sad. It is a very sad situation, McMahon said in a brief interview with NPR. It's something I'm still dealing with. It hasn't gone away, and I hope it never does. I hope every day, every single day of his life, he sees these faces that he's murdered, and they visit him every single night. I am praying and hoping that for him, okay? In the deadly shooting of unarmed black men and women by police officers in the U.S. have increasingly garnered worldwide attention over the last few years. The 2014 killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, sparked a week of protesters that catapulted the Black Lives Matter movement into the national spotlight. Since then, tens of thousands of people across the country have taken to the streets to protest police brutality of blacks by mostly white officers. Tell me why, when we know that this is an issue, it's a problem, nothing's being done. You know they just killed a white kid too, right? I hope and I pray that that white kid had to die for them to do something about them murdering black people. Why is it that somebody else white has to die for you to change the rules, okay? This should have been taken care of. This is not the first time. They've been killing us since forever, since Obama was in office, okay? Since 2015, police officers have fatally shot at least 135 unarmed black men and women nationwide. An NPR investigation has found. NPR reviewed police court and other records. That's what they're reporting. Some of these people, police departments are not recording that, okay? They're not recording anything, okay? Courts and other records to examine the details of the cases. At least 75% of the officers were white. The latest one happened this month in Killen, Texas, when Patrick Warren, senior 52, was fatally shot by an officer responding to a mental health call. That's when we say defund, dismantle the police, defund and give some of that money to the mental health issues, the mental health department, so that when they call and they say, hey, I'm dealing with a mental health problem, even when the police get there and they say it's a mental health issue, then they need to be able to call the mental health clinic and let the mental health people come out to handle those situations, okay? They're not doctors. They're not mental health clinic or providers, so they don't really understand or know what to do but shoot somebody dealing with mental health issues. They don't need to be on those cases. They need to call for a mental health personnel person that can help them. For at least 15 of the officers, such as McMahon, the shooting were not there first, okay? Listen to this. This one's going to get you, okay? Or their last. NPR found they have been involved in two, sometimes three or more shootings, often deadly and without consequences. You hear that, right? Okay. Those who study deadly force by police say it's unusual for officers to be involved in any shooting, okay? Why is it unusual? I'm seeing it happen all the time. Many officers will go their entire careers without shooting. That went back in 1963 because they had no guns and no bullets, okay? Sometimes without, those were black officers, sometimes without pulling their guns out at all, said Peter, a criminologist and professor in the School of Public Health at Louisiana State University, a co-author of The Badge and the Bullet, Police Uses of Deadly Force, It's Rare. Not every law enforcement agency releases details, information about police shootings. I told you that. So the number that she has could be low, okay? It's a low number, okay? So the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department and Kansas City Police Department, for example, refuses to release specifics such as officers' name and their race, cities open investigations, citing that they're open investigations. Still, NPR reviewed thousands of pages of job applicants' personnel records, use of force reports, citizens' complaints, court records, lawsuits, new releases with witnesses' statements, and local and state police investigation reports to examine the backgrounds of the officers and analyze details of each shooting. Listen to this, okay? We also interviewed use of force expert criminology police, Okay. What they found out, this is going to blow your mind. At least 6 officers had trouble passed before being hired onto police departments, including drug use, domestic violence. One officer had been fired from another law enforcement agency, and at least 2 others were found forced out. Okay? Now listen, these are police officers they're hiring. Several officers were convicted of crimes while on the force, such as battery, resisting, and obstructing, but kept their job. In one instance, officials in a tiny Louisiana parish reportedly fired and rehired a deputy who got into trouble with the law 3 times over 30 years, records show. Okay? This is the type of people that they're hiring. So these are the type of people that we have to confront. Okay? So what do we do, family? When you know that you're hiring people that's incompetent, when you know that you're hiring people that have records, when you know that you're hiring people that have mental illnesses, what are we to do? Also, he was defending himself, okay? More than 2 dozen officers have racked up citizens' complaints, okay? Let's check out that officer that also shot. Did he have any citizens' complaints? Did he have a record? What was his behavior? What was going on with that officer? Was he drinking a lot? Did he do drugs? Because you have officers doing that. They do drugs, they drink, okay? What was that officer's problem, okay? Let's do a background check of the officer, Ryan, who was the officer that, I got the officer's name that also they say was shot, okay? Okay, I have his name. We'll get that later. Okay, so Fort Lauderdale, Florida police officer had 82 reviews over use of force incidents, but was never found in violation. Okay, he had 82 reviews over use of force incidences, but was never found in violation. Why not? Police cannot investigate police themselves, okay? Vineland, New Jersey officer had more than 3 dozen use of force incidents over 5-year period. Hold on, you guys. I got to open this door. It's a little warm here. Hold on. Hold on. I'm coming back. Hold on. I have to open the door. Hold on. Okay, I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. Okay. I just want you guys to understand I'm doing this for a reason, you guys. I need you to understand what Ortho was up against, okay? Several officers have violated their department police policies and been cited for ethics violations, including a Hollywood, Florida officer accused of trying to steer business to his company and an Arizona state trooper accused of misuse of state property, okay? 19 of the officers involved in deadly shootings. Now, I'm sure it's more than this. She only did the certain, you know, a number of 19. But it's more officers in the world than that, okay? So it should have been more. But she was just trying to show you, give you an idea of what we're dealing with. 19 of the officers involved in deadly shootings were rookies with less than a year on the force. One was on the job for 4 hours, another for 4 days. More than a quarter of the killing occurred during traffic stops. Why? Nonviolent, those are nonviolent offenses, okay? And 24 of the dead, 18% suffered from mental illness, okay? This is a need. This is showing you that we have a need for a mental health clinic, a personnel person to be on the force, okay? The youngest person shot was a 15-year-old Valley Springs, Texas high school freshman who played on the football team. The oldest was a 60-year-old man killed in his Los Angeles County home. Nearly 60% of the shootings occurred in the South. 60% of the shootings occurred in the South, with more than a quarter in Texas, Georgia, and Louisiana. Why? What's going on with those cities? Okay? We're talking about why. What are we facing? Let me give you the title. Fatal police shootings of unarmed black people revealed trouble patterns. I'm trying to show you what also Ozone Wallace was up against that night. Okay? Let's keep looking at what we have on our police force. What are we dealing with every day? Let's talk about it. The killings had led to at least, okay? Hold on. The killings have led to at least 30 judgments and settlements totaling more than $142 million, records show. Dozens of lawsuits and claims are pending, okay? Now, we know that there's a problem. If you paid out this much money, but you're not fixing the problem. You just people dying, but you're shelling out money. Uh-uh. Hold on. Let me show you what we're dealing with on our police force. An examination of individual cases reveals merit ways that law enforcement agencies fail to hold officers accountable and allow them to be in a position to shoot again. In many instances, the criminal justice system refuses to prosecute. They refuse to prosecute, often resulting in the parts putting officers back on the streets because they're saying, oh, it's justifiable. So they're making excuses and allowing those officers to get back on the streets, okay? Often resulting in departments putting officers back on the streets instead of desk jobs where they have little contact with the public. Other times, police unions, okay, are protecting officers from accountability. And sometimes departments are so desperate to recruit officers that they ignore warning signs, such as an officer's troubling past, and hire them anyway. That's what we're dealing with. They already know that they have a troubling past. I already showed you that most of them have records. Most of them have been charged with some kind of a crime themselves. I'm just saying, this is what we're dealing with on our American police forces. Okay, we got the Proud Boys, KKK, infiltrated. Okay, come on. Why do they get a pass to kill people? Why do they get a pass on killing people? Okay, ask Paula McGowan, okay, Foster's mother. If the system was right, they would hold these people accountable. Unnecessary and unreasonable. Let's talk about Nathaniel Pickett II was walking back to his $18 a night hotel room in the El Rancho, a seen better days bungalow motel along historic Route 66, okay? It was shortly after 9 p.m. on November 19th, 2015, and Nate, as his family called him, often took evening walks. As the 29-year-old former engineering student crossed the street, he caught the eye of Kyle Woods, a San Bernardino sheriff's deputy. Woods made a U-turn into the motel parking lot, jumped out of his cruiser, and approached Pickett, police shows records show. He demanded Pickett's name, birth date. Pickett complied. He complied, okay? If he complied, I hear people say, why are they complying? They're complying, but they still ended up dead, right? Okay, it says Pickett complied. In fact, he did everything Woods asked of him, including taking his hands out of his pocket. When Woods asked if he lived in the motel and where he was from, Pickett said he didn't know. When Pickett asked if he had done something wrong, the deputy said he just wanted to talk to him, okay? That's what Pickett asked. Did I do something wrong? The deputy said, I just want to talk to you. What's the problem? Pickett asked Woods 9 times as the deputy peppered him with questions about whether he had ever been arrested. Yes, if he had lived in Barstow all his life and where he was going, okay? There is no problem, Woods responded. Okay, then Pickett should have been able to leave, right? Pickett asked if he could go to his room where he had lived since moved to that area 7 weeks earlier. Woods would later admit under oath that he knew he had no probable cause to arrest him and that Pickett had the right to walk away. Listen to know your rights, family. But when he tried, Woods grabbed him. Now, when Pickett tried to walk away, he had a right to walk away. Woods grabbed him and told him to stop resisting. What was he resisting? They say that all the time. What was he resisting? He had a right to walk away. So Woods grabbed him and told him not to resist. What the heck? This is some psychological crap, you guys. I'm sorry. This is crazy. Woods threatened to use a taser on him. Pickett put his arms up and was running toward his room. Okay, when he tripped and fell in the breezeway, he was scooting backwards from Woods. Okay, the deputy called him. Okay, the two scuffled. Now, if the dude, well, he fell, he on the ground, and what did the police do? What are he doing now? He scuffled while a male citizen volunteered on patrol with Woods watched from afar, from a few feet away. Woods punched Pickett 15 to 20 times before pulling out his service revolver and threatening to shoot him. Now, why did he have to pull the gun? He wasn't doing nothing. He walked away, was running, okay, to his room to get away from Crazy. Crazy wouldn't let him go, so Crazy ran after him, and now he got him on the ground. They tussling, so the guy, Crazy, pulled out his gun. What did you need to pull your gun out? This is what we're dealing with on our police force, okay? Let's go. He punched Pickett, okay? He punched the guy 15 to 20 times before pulling out his. So he's really abusing this man for no reason. For no reason. The man did nothing, okay, but trying to go to his room, okay? So let's remember also that night was sitting in his car. Wasn't bothering nobody, right? He wasn't bothering anybody. He was just sitting in his car, minding his business. Okay, let's keep moving. He fired Kenny Pickett twice in the chest. Why did he have to fire? Tell me why. Once with the barrel of the gun pressed toward the man's chest. Ow, Pickett moaned. One of the bullets pierced his heart and left lung. Pickett was pronounced dead at the scene. What did Pickett do that he deserved to be treated like this for one? What did he do for him to be stopped for two? What did he do to die for three? This is what we're dealing with on our police, America's police force. And probably not just America. You got Israel. You got other cities, Canada, UK. I'm just saying, this is what we're dealing with. What do you do when you have thugs on your police force? What do you do? How do you act? What are you doing? Do you continue allowing them to murder you? What do we do? Help me out, family. Help me out. Okay, let's continue. Woods on the force. Okay, Woods on the force for 2 years at the time, but on the streets for just a few months. Said he shot him because he feared for his life. They know what to say. Either you're in imminent danger or you're fearing for your life. Those are two things that they say, right? So when you say that, they'll tell you the police force. I'm telling you because I went. You always say it. Something like this happens, you fear for your life. You fear for your life. You fear for your life. That's all you're going to say. Once you say that, you're good. You're good to go. I went to the police force. I know. I went to the academy. I did. I'm just saying. Woods, who was black, okay, this little black guy doing this to your own. Sometimes they the worst ones, aren't they? Because you got to impress your white buddy over there, right? Okay. Didn't give a statement to police about the incident for 28 days. He didn't even have to write a report. Okay, it's another nigga you killed. Okay, go back to work. We'll get your report when you get time. Give it to me when you get time, sir. Okay. And what happened? And when he did, he said that he stopped Pickett after seeing him hop. Now, he lied. Listen to this report now. Now, this is what they do. He got to justify shooting this unarmed man, okay? And when he did, he said that he stopped Pickett after seeing him hop the motel fence. He thought Pickett was trespassing, and he was fidgety, like he might be under the influence, Wood said. Pickett had marijuana in his system, and his blood alcohol level was 0.01%. Far below the level to be considered legally impaired, records show. Okay, the deputy never faced criminal charges in Pickett's death, but the victim's family filed civil charges, and when he testified under oath at the civil trial, Woods told a different story. He told a lie on a report. He should have been fired right then, okay? Now he's going to get under oath, and now I guess he's going to feel bad, so we're going to tell a little bit of the truth. Let's see. And when he testified under oath in the civil trial, Woods told a different story. He said he never saw Pickett jump over the fence and that the gate actually was open. He also said it never occurred to him that Pickett could be mentally ill. Pickett was diagnosed with mental illness during his freshman year at Hampton University in Virginia and had been treated through the medical health court in San Bernardino in 2012. After a conviction for resisting a peace officer and false personation, records show. Okay, Scott Defoe, who spent two decades with Los Angeles. Now, that's one thing. Now we're going to another story. Scott Defoe, who spent two decades with Los Angeles police, testified at the civil trial. Okay, same trial, I'm sorry. He said that Woods used a force was unnecessary and unreasonable. This is probably one of the worst cases I have looked at because of the mental health component. There was no crime. He ran as he had a lawful right to do. So when you run, if you're not being under arrest, when you run, that's your legal right. You can walk, you can run, you can skip, you can jump, you can crawl. You don't have to stand there and take their abuse. But we have to know our rights. We have to know our rights. If you're not being legally detained, if you didn't commit a crime, why do I have to stand here until you say I can leave? Can I leave now? He had a legal right to leave, and he did just that, but he ran. So the officer ran after him. What are you running after him for? He didn't even have a right to run after him, okay? But let's go on, okay? The jury on the civil trial was unanimously jury agreed that Woods had no right to detain Pickett, used unreasonable or excessive force against him, which caused his death and delayed getting him medical care. They awarded Pickett's family $33.5 million, one of the largest amounts ever in the officer-involved shooting case. Let me ask you a question. If this officer was white, would they have done that to him? I'm noticing that when the officers are black, they treat them totally different. Remember the officer that killed the little white boy, the two officers that killed the white boy? His father was literally driving toward them with a car. They shot into the car, killed the little six-year-old boy, and both officers got 20 years. Nothing was said about the white father that had a criminal record and was literally driving his car to run down the police. His son got shot because of his negligence, but the officers went to jail, and they were black. One was black and one was Spanish, I think. They got 20 years each. I'm just saying. So I'm saying that if you're white, and if you're white, you get away with murder. A lot of times you can't even sue civilly, but they allowed them to sue this man civilly and got $33.5 million. I'm just saying. Okay, Nathaniel Pickett, Senior 66, said the Nate was the only child. This is his father. He had with Dominique Archburn, a two-time combat veteran, and blah, blah, blah. After his divorce, he said that he allowed the boy to live with his mom. Okay, he became Boy Scout. Okay, da, da, da. Let me see. I'm on another case. Okay. Less than 3 years after Pickett's death, Woods, the officer, was involved in a second on-duty shooting of another unarmed man. This is what we're dealing with, family. You got to know what's on your police force. So you tell me that cop wasn't up to some mischief. When he stopped Ozone, I'm trying to get his name, Wallace, when he stopped him, he was up to some mess. Because I guarantee you they knew who Ortho was. I don't know why I keep calling him Orville. Ortho, they knew who Ortho was, Ozone, right? They knew who he was, okay? We wanted him to be happy, okay? Okay, I'm reading something. Let me go back. Let me go down. Find my place. Minutes after starting his 7 p.m. shift on January 2018, Woods noticed the man, Ryan Martinez, driving his black Jeep in Barstow without an illuminating license plate. Okay? Now, he's stopping somebody on another traffic stop. He activated his lights and siren and hit the gas. During the pursuit, Martinez lost control of the car and ran off the road into a drainage ditch, police records show. The car flipped over. Woods said he ordered Martinez to show his hand. He refused. Woods shot two shots at him but missed. Afraid that Martinez might have a gun, Woods used a taser on him unsuccessfully before drive stunning him. In his leg. What's that drive stunning him in his leg? I don't know what that means. Woods then shot him in the chest and hand when he said the man reached for his waistband area. What was in his waistband area if you had the gun in your hand? Okay, Martinez, 27, he survived. No gun was found at the scene, according to police records. Woods was not wearing a body cam. Why is this man who's shooting everybody not having a body cam on? Okay, he should have been fired for that because you know he need a body cam. And, honey, I would tell him, look, you don't never go without your body cam. You keep your body cam on 24/7. Just keep it on. Just walk with it. Just keep it on because you seem to keep thinking your life is in jeopardy all the time. Okay? Don't nobody be doing anything to you, but you think your life is in jeopardy. Okay, that means you got a mental illness, Woods. Woods was not wearing a body cam. Martinez did not respond to a request through his mother for an interview. He was shot three times, his mother, Kathy, said. Okay? That included photos of his bullet wounds. Okay? She said that her son was shot three times. Okay, let's talk about this little Michael San Bernardino County District Attorney, Michael Ramos. I mean, let me tell you about the little county, the district attorney. This is what we're dealing with as far as this district attorney. I think they can be elected in and out, right? Okay, we need to elect. He needs out, okay? There's no reason for this man to have been in office for as long as he was in office, okay? Michael Ramos, the San Bernardino County District Attorney, at the time of both shootings, both shootings, declined to charge Woods, saying the deputy was justified in shooting both men. Why was he justified when they didn't have guns? Okay? This is what we got to get out of office. You got to see what you're dealing with and vote these buttholes out. If they're not doing their job, vote them out. Why are they in there 8 years? Okay? I'm going to show you how long he was in there. Okay? He said in a recent phone interview with NPR that he doesn't remember the case, but said he always adhered to the law, right, when deciding whether to charge an officer with killing someone, right. He says that. But is that his actions? That's not his actions, family. He's saying he did that, but it's not his actions, okay? Each case is different, Sarah Ramos, who was the district attorney from 2003 to 2018. Why in the heck was he in office so long when he could be voted out at any time? So y'all allow stuff like this. This stuff can be alleviated. If you see that these judges aren't doing what they're supposed to do, the mayors aren't doing what they're supposed to do, if these DAs aren't doing what they're supposed to do, vote them out. Vote their behinds out. Locally, we can get into voting things, okay? This is what we need to remember. Vote locally. Federally, it's piece of work, whatever. You can start running for these offices. Run for city council. Run for mayor. You can fix the problem in your own area, black family. We have the power to do that. Come on. Each case is different. Okay, that's what he said. But when you apply the facts to the law, that's what you look at. Okay, Ramos defended the officer who shot two people, okay, saying that they have an impossible job. Really, okay? Taking someone's life is not easy. It seems to be easy for this Woods person, okay? It seems to be easy for a lot of officers. He said it's not something that they brag about or high-five each other about. Yes, they do, and it's been known. It's been known. You've heard officers call each other on the radio and say, man, we did so-and-so, so-and-so, and that so-and-so, so-and-so, and he did that. Haven't we heard that before? I've heard reports of that. Okay, when asked if officers who killed unarmed people should be taken off the street, Romo said that decision should remain with the department. Okay? So something is wrong here. They should be given the resources, counseling, and time off, but it's up to the chiefs, he said. No. If you're killing people like that, you just shot two people, you need to be off the force because some people never pull a gun. Why is it that some people pull a gun all the time and then shot two and three and four and five per people, okay, and then you got officers that don't ever pull a gun? What's the difference in those officers? Those are the officers that need to be fired, the ones that's pulling a gun all the time. They need to be fired because obviously they're not dealing, they don't know how to do their job. Obviously they're not understanding how to de-escalate. Those officers that are never pulling a gun, we need more of them, okay? That we need more of those. Authorities said that Woods reasonably believed he had to use deadly force to protect his own life. No. He was placed on paid administrative leave for at least 3 days after each shooting, which is routine for officers involved in deadly force, said the sheriff's department. Okay? Woods, 28, couldn't be reached, of course. Okay? Ooh, boy. Wow. I'm trying to get down to another case. This is crazy. Decision not to charge Woods is common. Authorities failed to charge officers of more than 80 cases, records show. Of the officers involved in deadly shootings of unarmed black people over the last 5 years, 13 were charged with murder, 2 were found guilty. 13 was charged, 2 found guilty. What's going on with the justice system, family? These are the officers we're dealing with, and this is the system we're dealing with. It needs to be torn down, dismantled, and rebuilt. We need to come away from the slave catchers and do some real work, okay? Or have our own defense team. That's what I think black folk need, our own defense team, okay? Three others that was charged with murder were acquitted. One was found not guilty of murder, but guilty of aggravated assault, false statements, and violation of his oath of office. He should have been fired. 7 murder cases are pending. Of 7 officers charged with manslaughter, 2 were found guilty. In 33 shootings, officers were fired or resigned. Why are they allowed to resign? Because when they resign, they can go and work for other police departments. At least 3 got their jobs back, and 5 went on to work at other law enforcement agencies. If you're fired from one agency, why are you allowed to go and work at another agency? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Okay, let me read. Phillips, criminal justice professor, okay, former police officer in Virginia and New Hampshire, said it's difficult to prosecute officers charged with murder or manslaughter from an on-duty shooting because juries often sympathize with them. Oh, I got a fly in here. Lord, you'll get away from me. Sorry, y'all. I'm about to kill. I got my spray here. I'm going to kill him in a minute. Okay? Y'all get this? The courts are very reluctant to second-guess the split-second decisions of police officers in potentially violent street encounters that might be life or death situations. If they're stopping them for a nonviolent traffic stop, why in the hell? How is that life-threatening? I don't understand that. Help me. I can see if you got a burglar, you're going into the building, it's a burglar, he got a gun. That's different. That's different. But if you're stopping them for a nonviolent crime, why is it they'll end up dead all the time? Why is that? If nobody on the jury is smart enough to think, why is that happening? Nobody can think that, huh? Nobody can say anything. Okay. I don't understand that. I don't understand. Okay, let me get down to some good stuff. Okay, here we go. Ronald McMahon Jr. of U.S. Attorney for District of Columbia for more than 5 years during the Obama administration said that prosecuting police officers who gunned down unarmed black men and women will continue to be challenging until there are more minorities in the system. Ain't that something? Okay. This is why you need black prosecutors and blacks on juries to hold people accountable. For police officers to have the credibility to do their job, they have to be held accountable, and they're not. They're not being held accountable. One officer had 5 shootings. Let me read this one. The decision not to hold officers accountable does rest solely with prosecutors. They need to be voted out. Police unions often make it all but impossible to remove an officer from the forces despite the repeated shootings and other infractions. Okay? There's something needs to be done about what? The union? Okay. Gerald Baldwin was involved in 5 shootings. 5. 5. 5 shootings. Okay. 2 off-duty and 3 on-duty during his 24 years with the Detroit Police Department. A review of more than 1,700 pages of agency records show 1 was fatal. He also shot a pigeon and was investigated over assault. What? He also shot a pigeon and was investigated over assault on police officers. Improper conduct, harassment, excessive use of force, domestic violence, and threats, yet he keeps his job. Tell me, this is what the hell we are putting up with. Why is he still in the force? This right here, you think Arthur didn't have a concern? You think he didn't feel for his life? What the hell do you expect Arthur to do? Ozone. That's what I'm calling Ozone. What do we want him to do? Die like the rest? 5. Let's find out some. Let's find out this officer. Let's look up officer. Let me get his name. We need to do a report on this officer who shot Ozone, Jason Rayner, R-A-Y-N-O-R. We need to do a report on him. He was the officer that was not supposed to be on duty that pulled that oval. He's sitting in his car. This officer come up to him and asking him, you live here? None of your damn business. You're not even on the shift. Why you care? Oh, I'm just doing an investigation. No, you sitting up here trying to start some mess. That's what you're trying to do. Then you go in a white neighborhood and a white person sitting in their car, you ask them why you're sitting here. Do you live here? No, you don't. So why are these officers still on the force? This man shot 5 different people. This is what we're putting up with, family, on the police force. So what is it that we're to do? Please help me. Please help me. Please. Okay. Known for having a temper. This police officer is known for having a temper because nobody's holding his behind accountable. So I can act a fool if I want to because I'm the law. Okay. Bland starting having trouble 3 years after his March 1994 hiring when he shot a man while off duty at a Detroit nightclub. Seriously? Police records show the victim survived. A year later, he was involved in another off-duty non-fatal shooting at an ATM after a man who was confused mistakenly tried to get into Baldwin's car. Blaine was exonerated in both cases. Okay, let me finish. Okay. An internal affairs review in 2001 found that he displayed improper conduct after assaulting a female cop he was dating at the time. Okay, 2002, Blanding was accused of making threats. And a year later, Internal Affairs launched another investigation, this time into excessive force, use of force. He had a third shooting in 2004 while working in drug enforcement. That man survived, okay? In August 15, he fired 16 shots. 16 shots at a man inside a car during a domestic dispute. The man, DeMar Parker, had gone to the home of his ex-girlfriend with whom he had a young daughter, and an argument erupted and the Detroit police officer, and a Detroit police officer, her son's father, was called. He then called for another officer to meet him at the house. That officer brought along Blanding. When Blanding and the other officer arrived, Parker jumped in his silver Cadillac and sped off. He returned minutes later, waving a pistol. Police records show. Blanding saw the gun and opened fire on Parker's car, claiming he thought Parker was going to shoot one of the other officers or run him over. The Wayne County Prosecutor's Office declined to bring criminal charges against Bland, though the department found he violated policy. Why was he still on the force? That's my question again. Parker sued and settled the city for $97,000, according to the city's attorney. February 17th, in the backyard of an abandoned home, Bland, who is black, fatally shot 19-year-old Raynard Burton. Blandon and his partner were patrolling the neighborhood of mostly burned out and boarded up houses and overgrown lots in Detroit West Side when a green Pontiac Bonneville whizzed past. The car spun out of control and crashed into a building. Burton, the driver, ran. Then Blandon eventually caught him. He claimed he saw the teen grab at his waist as if he had a weapon, record show. Blandon grabbed Burton with one hand while holding his department-issued weapon in the other. The pair struggled, and Blanding shot him once in the chest before yelling for his partner and calling for supervisor. And his union steward, Burton, who was pronounced dead at the scene, was unarmed. This is what we're dealing with on our police force. I'm not done. I know it's long, but y'all be what we grown folk here. We need to understand what we're dealing with. What are we to do about when these thugs, these terrorists stop us? What do we do, family? What are we to do? I don't understand. Help me out. Bland was not charged in the case either and returned his job. This dude shot five people. I don't think there's an excuse for keeping people like that, said Gregory, okay, a police use of force expert and criminology professor at a university, whatever, okay? That's ridiculous. Albert said that retaining a troubled police officer is risky and has enormous consequences. Yes, people die. We need to find out about this officer. What was his past? What was his history? What was his criminal, any complaints? What was his behavior? Was he fit to be on duty? Was he even fit to be on the force? Let's find out about this officer, okay, that so-called was shot. Let's find out, okay? I'm just saying. The point is you want to be good officers, cops, and not fill your office coffer, the office with these questionable cops, he said.
because in the long run, they're going to cost you more money, okay? Let me go down. Most immediate obstacle is union contract. Okay, the most immediate obstacle is the union contract, okay? The union, all in the name of due process, have made it difficult to remove officers whose records indicate they engaged in serious misconduct, okay? The union got hooked to where you can't even get rid of these demons, okay? Isaac McMahon, Detroit police chief, from 1994 to 1998, agreed. He said the city officials and police advisors involved in negotiating the contracts also are to blame for the department's inability to get rid of officers who reportedly violate policy. You terminate them and see if they will fight their way back, and most do because the union contract says, McMahon, who also served as a city deputy mayor, the union are there to protect officers, but often they're contributing to what the officers are doing, okay? And see, that we need to hold the unions accountable, too. We need to hold them. I don't care what you say. They're not coming back, period. At some point, the mayor has to say, no, I understand what the union is saying, but this man shot five other people. It shouldn't even got to five. After your first two, okay, and we see, no. And then you pay several complaints against this dude, and you still allow him to be, he's reckless. He's reckless, and other people are dying because he's reckless, okay? Let's go on. Bland troubles continue to mount without consequences. Records show in December 17, he was accused of being intoxicated on the job and having his gun taken from his lap while he was allegedly asleep, okay? The weapon was returned without further actions. 2 days before Christmas in 17, he called 911 after a domestic violence incident. He told the dispatcher that he was carrying a gun and to send someone before he is back on the news, okay? But in early 2018, while out on stress leave and ordered not to carry a gun, Bland showed up to the scene of a pedestrian accident and refused to answer questions about who he was or comply with orders given by the other officers. Records show he reeked of alcohol and had slurred speech. One officer said a preliminary breath test indicated Bland blood alcohol content was 0.18%, more than twice the legal limit in Michigan. They found two weapons on him along with a department identification card indicating he had no gun statute. Records show he cursed at officers, called them rookies, was handcuffed and put into the back of a squad car. They arrested him for possession of weapons while intoxicated and violating the concealed pistol license. Bland was charged with 8 counts of assaulting, resisting, obstructing, 8 counts of felony armed, a firearm, and 3 counts of possession of firearms while under the influence. This is crazy. This is what we're dealing with on our police force. Listen to this. He pled guilty to 1 felony count of assault, resulting in obstructing. He was fined, given probation in order to do community service and attend Alcohol Anonymous meetings, according to the spokesperson, okay? When reached at his home recently, Bland, 51, declined request for interview. Okay, still seeking therapy, he said. Is he still a police officer, still seeking therapy? This is what we have on our police force, you guys. Are you hearing this? Let me see. A lot of cops have gotten away. Yes, this is what I'm saying. This is what we're dealing with. Jay Smooth, welcome. I want you guys to like and share. Please like and share. Like and share. Hit the bell so that you'll know when I go live, you guys. Every Tuesday, 11:30, sometime on Wednesday, depending on my schedule. But I'm telling you, this right here, if I'm reading right, what if the police officer, let me get his name, Ryan somebody, let me get his name, was the same way? What kind of record do we know? What do we know about this Jason Rayner that pulled over? No, he didn't pull over. I correct myself. I think corrected. Arthur Orville was sitting in his car. The police officer comes up to him. What kind of past does Jason Rayner have? What kind of police officer was he? Was he like this Bland person that we're reading? Did he already have a record? Did he already have a disciplinary problems? Did he lose his job at another place and come and start at this place and didn't tell anybody that he was at another police station and he was fired? Are we dealing with what kind of person we're dealing with Jason? Okay, we need to find out. okay, because Ozone, he was feared for his life. Because I'm telling you what, if this is the type of policing that we're looking at, if this is what Ozone, I don't know. I can't get the man name. Y'all help me out. If this is what he was putting up with, or if this was what he was coming in contact with, I'd be scared too. I would have fought for my life too. Because I do believe that it was self-defense. I do believe that he had a right to defend himself. I do believe because at this rate, you never know what's going to happen. We have to be very happy that Ozone is alive. Because usually when black men, and you know that he was part of the Black Panther, you know that he had his own black national. We're going to talk more about that next week. But I want you to talk about the police force. I wanted you to understand what he was up against. This is what he's up against, okay? Because you never know when a cop comes to you, what kind of person they are, what kind of discipline. They don't have their records. We don't know when we're dealing with them, what kind of mischief are they, what kind of mischief are you trying to do? Are you trying to accuse me of doing something? Are you trying to harass me? Are you trying to belittle me? Are you trying to disrespect me? Are you trying to pull rank on me? What is going on at the time? In my mind, Ozone was protecting himself, okay? When that dude called for Charlie 777, my thing in his mind, he was like, oh, no, you're getting ready to get your buddies down here, and it ain't nothing, no emergency happening. Y'all getting ready to do some dirt. So my life is in jeopardy. I'm in imminent danger, and I'm getting ready to fight for my life. I'm just saying, okay? Detroit Police Chief James declined, okay? He declined to. Unions have gotten to understand that they cannot continue to have people over and over again who are doing these things continue to be police officers. That's true. So at what point do we pull rank? What point does the mayor pull rank and say, no, we're not going to allow them to come back to work. I don't care what the union says. You can sue me. I'd rather pay you. I'd rather pay him whatever money's due, but he's not coming back on my force. And we're going to blackball him, and we're going to put his name out there, get a list of police officers that shouldn't be allowed to transfer from station to station, and get a list to say, okay, this police officer got fired for this reason. This police officer was let go for this reason. This police officer he quit before we could fire him because he knew that we were getting ready to fire him because he had disciplinary problems. We need a list. We need a board. We need something to tell us what's going on with these police officers and why they were fired or let go. Okay, that way when they go to other police officers. They can look at this bulletin and say, let's see if his name is on there. And if his name is on there, we can't hire you. Seriously, this needs to stop. Changes need to happen, but nobody's making those changes. So we have to suffer the consequences until they decide to deal with these changes. Hell to the no. I'm just saying. Hell to the no. I'm just saying. Almost said something. Please help me in my mouth today. Because when I read stuff like this, this is bull crap. This is bull crap. You know this. This is what we deal with every day. And we supposed to continue dealing with this? No. You deal with your officers. Or guess what? We're going to deal with them. When they come down acting crazy, we don't know if they have any disciplinary problems. We don't know if they're sane. We don't know if they criminals. Because a lot of them, from what I'm reading, they're criminals. We don't know what we're dealing with. So guess what? Yes, I got to fight for my safety. I got to fight for my life. Ozone did right. He was fighting for his life. He was defending himself. Okay, let's go on. Whew. Zachary Presley wanted to be a police officer. We're almost done, family. I know it's long, but I'm trying to help you to realize what we're dealing with as far as these police departments. What are we dealing with? What's my title? What is my title? Let me go over. Don't forget Jason Rayner. We need to find out his record. My title today is what? Fatal police shootings of unarmed black people revealed troubling patterns. That's my show for today. We're finding out about these jokers here, okay? Why are there never any charges being filed? We got to get rid of them unions, okay? Almost done. Zachary Presley wanted to be a police officer because it offered him a chance at a career where he could make a difference. So in May 16, 2016, he applied to the St. Mary's Police Department, a 32-member force in a town of 1,800, okay? Officials found that he did not respond truthfully to several questions during a truth verification exam, and did poorly during candidacy interviews, okay? Internal reports show department officials rejected him, saying he was not a good candidate and very weak. He also acknowledged he lost a conditional job offer
with a law enforcement agency in Texas after making a sexual innuendo record show, okay? He just wasn't the best pick, Timothy Hatch said, who was St. Mary's police chief at the time, said in an interview, okay, he didn't come across in our interview process as someone who needed to be behind the badge. Presley went 8 miles. Listen, Presley went 8 miles to the next town over and applied at the 40-member Kingsland Department, Police Department, a year later. He acknowledged on his background questionnaire of being involved in domestic violence, assaults, buying or selling drugs, and other incidences. An internal report found Presley had 10 red flags and recommended officials review them before deciding whether to fire him. Did you just hear what I said? Because I'm white and I say so. Listen to this. This is what we have on our police force. Okay? They hired Presley anyway. One police said no. Okay? Let me see. Hold on. Hold on. Where was he at? St. Mary said no, but he went 8 miles down the road, and Kingsland said yes and hired him, even though he told them he had all this stuff going on. Within months, residents filed complaints about him. They hired him, but within months, the complaints started coming in. In a complaint, one 43-year-old black man wrote that one day after he complained to the chief about the officer's conduct, Presley came and parked in front of his house. I'm living in fear for my life, the man wrote, because of the abuse of power and constant harassment of traffic stops. This is our former, this is who he is. This is him. Okay? I'm white, and I say so. If he was black, do you think he would have been able to say that he had all of this in his background and they still hired him? Hell to the no. We know that, right? Okay. A black female resident wrote that Presley followed her for about a mile and then stopped her for failing to use a turn signal when she changed lanes. She alleged that Presley racially profiled her. Presley is white. Presley has 7 use of force incidents in 6 months. Presley had 7 use of force incidents in 6 months. 3 involved tasers. Records show he once used a stun gun on a substitute teacher and a county board of education office. He was investigated internally twice within 2 days for misconduct. He received departmental warnings about violating policy and was suspended without pay for a day. Yet he stayed on the force. This is who we're dealing with on the police force, you guys. These people are not stable to be on police force. We are dealing with some evil, cruddy, dangerous people. Listen, I know it's long, y'all. Bear with me. I'm trying to help you to understand what we're dealing with. And guess what? If you was in Ozone's position, what would you do when that police officer came to you? And this is who we are. This is who we've been dealing with. These officers, this is what we're dealing with. What do you do, family? What do we do? Bear with me. While on patrol one night in June 2018, Presley pulled into a convenience store parking lot and spotted a white Chevy Chrysler Pacifica, a man he recognized, Anthony Green. The two had a previous run-in, and he knew Green didn't have a valid driver's license. As Green drove off, Presley followed him. Green ran his car onto the shoulder, prompting Presley to activate his blue light. Green had a passenger jumped out and ran, but Green left his phone and went back to retrieve it, dummy. Law enforcement records show he took off running with Presley in tow, who unsuccessfully used a taser on Green. When Green pushed him, Presley fired 8 shots from his .40 caliber Glock, striking the 33-year-old man, black man, at least 5 times, including in his chest, back, according to records from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, which handled the case. Green died at the scene.
Okay, let's keep moving. Preston was charged with voluntary and involuntary manslaughter and fired from the department. He should have not even had the job, right? He should have never had that job. Stay with me. A jury of 11 white and one Hispanic found him not guilty of manslaughter, but guilty of violating the oath of police officers in October 19. A judge sentenced him to 1 year in prison, 4 year probation, and ordered him to pay about $1,500 fine. Preston was released in May after serving 7 months in prison. Okay, 7 months for the death of this young man. Okay. Preston 29 did not return phone calls seeking comment. Okay. The hiring of Zachary Presley probably would not have taken place in my administration given the information I have, said Kingley Report, who took over the department in 2019. But guess what? Did you bother checking it? Did they bother checking it? They already knew previously. They knew. They saw it. But they hired him anyway. They knew that he was supposed to be on the force. They knew that he didn't have the right personality. But here you have other people like myself that I did try, okay, but black and Hispanic, for to you, I told y'all, they gave us the dickens. They gave us hell on that force, honey. My photo, when I got done, was that thick. It was crazy. I mean, I was harassed. It was so depressing. It was so horrible. It was 8 weeks of, we did 16 weeks. I did 14 and a half weeks, and it was hell the whole, maybe a month of not, because they had to get rid of the Mexican girl. And then when they got rid of her, they came after me. And I knew they would. But every day, every week, I said, okay, I made it through another week. Oh, my God, I made it through another week. I didn't know how I did it, but I made it through another week. 8 days later, I was let go because of some stuff. But it was crazy. I was harassed so bad. And then I went to weapons training. We passed. They said, okay, this is not going to be the day. We're going to do it another day. And I'm telling you, it was terrible. I'm telling you, it was terrible. Let's continue on, and because I'm almost done. I know y'all are like, oh, my God, how much more? We almost done, I promise you. Almost done, you guys. Bear with me. I know y'all don't have, I know black folk don't have a whole long-term, we can't stick with something a long time. And I know this is long, but I want you to imagine you sitting in a car and an officer come up to you. Put yourself in ozone spot. That's what I want you to think. This is what we're dealing with on the police force. They know that these are the type of people we're dealing with, but they're not doing anything about it. Come on, we got to work something here. Jones. Jones and others acknowledge that departments often hire officers such as Presley because they're desperate to recruit and are willing to ignore red flags, okay? We need bodies, Jones said. Some places have been willing to lower the standards and bring bodies in, and it's a receipt for disaster. We know that we're facing those disasters every day. What we're doing today is we're talking about the fatal police shootings of unarmed black people revealing trouble patterns. And we're talking about these officers that they're hiring on the force, and they know these officers have bad background checks. They have criminal histories. They have history of battery. They have history of violence. They have history of bad temper, and they're still hiring these officers. And these officers are the type of officers that Arthur Wallace had to face, okay? These officers is who he's facing now, okay? My thing is, well, our brother Ozone was defending himself, okay? If this is who he had to come across, if this is what he had to come across, he'd have a choice. It was either him or them, either him or him. At that point, you have to understand. I want you guys to rewind the tape, the video, so you guys can see everything. We've talked about a lot of history as far as these officers, a lot of charges. They've been brought up on charges, and they still are allowed, and some of them have records, and they are allowed to be on the force anyway. Okay? We're almost done. We're going to continue talking about this. Small departments that are strapped for officers have taken them where they can find them. Okay? Green's death was prompted changes in the Kansas Police Department, including mental health treatments for officers and hiring boards to review candidates, okay? It's now important for us to move forward, train properly. It's not about the training. You hire racist people. It's not about the training. When the victim is white or the person is white, your training works just fine. So stop with the training. Train properly and show that the stigma of what happened to Presley will not be tolerated. okay? Police psychology in the report says that two of that one shooting or more takes a police officer can be devastated. People don't realize the psychology effects of a shooting taking on an officer and their families. What about the peace person? What about the person that they shot? What is the toll on that family of the person that you are harassing or you just shot? So we really have to understand. They're making a lot of excuses. I'm not even going to read the rest of this. I do. People don't realize the psychology effects of shooting takes place on officers and the family. Said Gardner, who has worked a reserve officer for 26 years. But my thing is, you're investigating like your perpetrators. You can't work on the streets. You can't get overtime. Your peer support is pulled away. Gardner acknowledged that departments face difficult issues now with police shootings, including unarmed black men and women. Are there bad cops out there? Hell yes, there's bad cops. All of them are. And my thing is, when they try to tell me that there are no bad cops, liars. My thing is, silence is golden. If you see your person doing something and you don't say anything, then you are just as guilty as he is, okay? But my thing is, they know what's going on these police forces, and they're not doing anything. So my thing is, why are they allowed to work? Why are they still allowed to be on the force? Why are they, what do we do about it? So we come across an officer that you know has a bad attitude when he comes to your car window, they're supposed to come and they're supposed to de-escalate the situation. A lot of times it's not even a situation. They make it out of a situation. Because like one officer, he approached the man was compliant, and by that time he had nothing on the man. He knew the man could leave. So why was he still harassing the man is the question that I ask. Why is it, when is it okay for us to walk away? When you know that an officer is just doing it, he's just picking, and you've answered all the questions, is it okay to walk away? Or do we still, have to stand there? Or if we walk away, they're going to say you did something, or they're going to shoot you because, the one officer hollered, stop resisting. Why are there never any charges, okay, on these officers for nonviolent? These deaths, they're nonviolent. They were stopped for nonviolent offenses for a taillight. Jose Castile, he died for a taillight. The officer shot him several times. For what? He had no gun. He wasn't violent. The officer said, I feared for my life. The man is sitting in the car. He told you he had a gun. He didn't have it in his hand. So what part did you fear for your life? You told him to get his license. He should have been arrested. These officers are not being held accountable. They should be held accountable. And why are they not? I don't want you to give me money. I want my child. I don't want you to take my child's life and to give me $43.5 million. I don't want no money. I want my baby. I want my child. So at what point do we deal with this? How do we deal with this? Do we continue allowing them to murder us? And when they know that they're wrong, or do we fight back? I'm not condoning violence. I never will. But I do condone us defending ourselves. When these race soldiers, and you know that the Proud Boys and the KKK have infiltrated the police departments, we know that. They're murdering black people and getting away with it. We know that. We see that. So at what point what do we do? How do we stop it? That's my question. Why is this okay? Why is this okay? Why is it okay we end up dead for nonviolent offenses? Why is it okay? I seen on TV the other day, one officer, he shot a man six times in the back. The man, again, was running, okay? Black folk run because they know either I'm going to die, I need to run, or I'm going to die. But if I stay here, I'm going to die. It's damn if I do, damn if I don't. Do we stay there and die, or we run and take a chance and live? Deontay, he was 20, 19 and 20, a young kid driving, nonviolent offense, he died. Why is it that we're dying for nonviolent offenses? We don't have weapons in our hand, but we're still dying. White folks have weapons in hand and don't die. We have no weapons in our hands and die. No weapons and we die. Why? For nonviolent offenses, we're being shot. Why? That man, that officer that shot that kid in the back, he got 3 years. 3 years. Three. Why? Isn't that crazy? That one officer, Ryan McMahon, if he wasn't on the force, if he wasn't on the force, he wouldn't have died. He was, the next boy wouldn't have died. They had fired him for the first shooting. He wouldn't have been on the force for the second shooting, would he? Some lives would have been saved. These officers have to be held accountable. 135 unarmed black men, you know that number is not even nearly where it should be. That number is not nearly where it should be. Y'all know that, right? So what do we do? Do we continue on and allowing, do we continue on? What do we do? I just want to understand. How do we deal with this family? How do we deal with this? I don't understand. I don't understand. How do we deal with this? 112 men and boys killed by police. I mean, I know it's more than that, but I'm just reading up. I'm pulling up something from Newsom's, okay? I just want to go back and see something else. Police shootings database from 962 people have been shot and killed by police in the past year. 921, that's a lot. More than 5,000. This is crazy. Michael Brown, unarmed black teen, was killed in 2014. FBI under. I mean, this stuff is crazy. This stuff is crazy. What do we do? Black Americans are killed at a much higher rate than white Americans. What do we do? Black Americans are shot at a disproportionate rate. This is crazy. What do we continue to just allow them to shoot us and kill us? I'm looking at the statistics. It's terrible. This is crazy. What do we do? I'm trying to open up this page. So when they stop us, do we take a chance? What do we do? Nobody can tell me. If we stand there, we die. If we run, we die. The answer. What was ozone to do? Now, you heard about all this stuff on the police force. Some of them have records, violent records, violent, domestic, drug use, lying on reports. Breonna Taylor, they lied on her. They lied to get the report, and nobody was fired. Well, one was fired, but one was brought, charges brought up on him because he shot into another apartment, but not for murder. All three of those officers should be in jail because, for one, they lied to get the report, and it cost her life. When you cost somebody's life, black, white, I don't care, you need to go to jail. I seen where a black kid got 45 years for killing a police dog, 45 years. But Derek Chauvin got 22 years, and Brigada got 12. Because Botham Jean's family didn't want her to go to jail anyway. But she got 12 years. I'm surprised she got that because the family didn't even, the brother didn't even want her to go to jail.
So the jury would have given her more years, but the brother actually helped her out. So I'm just saying, these are the type of officers that we're dealing with. So at any point, at any given time, an officer could stop you. He could be the craziest on the force, and he could be one that has multiple personalities. He could be a drug addict, a drunk. He could be a person that drinks all the time. He could be a very hostile person. He could be a criminal. He could be a person that has a rap sheet just like any other criminal, you know, a criminal on the street. You don't have a record, but then now you got this crazy person with a bad attitude, a bad temper, and he's stopping you, and he's all in your face and yelling and spitting in your face and cussing with stanky breath, and you, what you supposed to stand there and take it? What do we do? How do we handle this? How do we handle these officers? That the police officers, the police department know that they're violent. They know that they're unruly. They know that they have a million and one complaints. They know that they have complaints for excessive force, abusive behavior. They know this, and they still allow them to police us. What do we as black folk do? This is my question. What do we do? We have police officers that have fake reports, false reports. They put people in jail for 30 and 40 and 50 years. We have to support our brothers. We have to support our brothers. I want you guys to write. We have to support our brother. And I'm going to do this, but I want us to support our brother. I wrote the number down. The Big Black American Secret, right? I went on his page and listened to him a lot. And he said that we should contact the director of flowers at 3. Get a pen and write this down, because I'm going to put this in the comments almost also. We're going to contact the director. We're going to contact the mayor. We're going to contact 3 police departments, the governor, Ron DeSoto. We need to contact him. We need to contact because we need to find out if he's getting his invitations, if he's getting privileges restored, rights restored, family visitation. We need to understand, is this happening? Is this man allowed to see his family? And we need to get with the director, call Director Flowers at 386-254-1555, Mayor Derek Henry at 386-671-8000. Let's call the police departments. I'm giving you 3 numbers for 3 different police departments. It's 386-671-5100. Another one is 386-671-5380. The last one, 386-248-1777. These are the police departments we need to call for Ortho to make sure that he's good. We're going to protect our brother, because this is the time that our brother can get off of it. Because look at what I've just read. We don't know what kind of officer that he had encountered. We know that there are problems with the police department. We know, and they know it also. We know that the police department has been infiltrated. We know this, right? What are we to do about it? Call one more person. We're going to call Governor Ron DeSoto, 850-488-7146. And we're going to call Jason Broder, 407-333. These are congressmen, 1-802. Travis Huston, H-U-T-S-O-N, Hudson, 386-446-7610. And Tom A. Wright, 386-304-7630. We need to be calling these people, because Ozone is our brother. And we as black people, it's time for us to do better and protect our own. We'll protect white folks for we'll our own. This brother needs our help. If we can get him, and don't forget, they do have, we stand with ozone.com, okay? That is his donate to Ozone. We stand with ozone.com. That is his website. You go there to donate today. Donate, because we need to get our brother a qualified, an attorney, okay? And he needs an attorney that's going to do the work, not a public defender. We need an attorney that's going to do the work for him and spend the time to do the job right, and not just because they say that he had, a hand in the police being shot or whatever. We don't know. We didn't see the tape. We don't know. We need more of the story. We need some investigating going on. We need to find out why that man was there in the first place. Was he on duty, off duty? If he's off duty, why are you bothering somebody who's off duty? If you didn't see this man being suspicious, why are you there? He could have just pulled up and was sitting in his car
ready to go inside, stuff together to get out the car, and you looking and you just drove up, so you didn't understand he just drove up. You thinking he's been sitting there all the time. So it could be a loss of communication, anything. But from what I read, we have police officers with records of they're very abusive, they're violent, they're on drugs, they're on alcohol, they're drinking, they're not fit for duty, they have mental illness, and just like the one that shot Tamir Rice, okay? He was not fit to be on duty. It said that in the report. You have one officer that went from one police thing that they didn't hire him. They said he wasn't a good fit. He went 8 miles down the road and got hired in another police department. And they saw that he was a criminal. They saw because he listed he was a criminal in his background report. They saw it, and they hired him anyway because they was desperate for bodies. Plus, he was white. So they didn't care. But if he had black, if he had a criminal like that white dude, you think he would get hired? Hell to the no, he wouldn't. But they hired this white boy because I'm white and I say stuff. And they don't care. As long as you don't get in trouble, if you do get in trouble, we're going to cover you because you can kill as many as you want. And we got you. Time out for that, family. Time out for that. So we have to call these numbers. We have to support our brothers. I'm going to tell you what. It's just pathetic because black folks don't want to do nothing for nobody. But if it's you, you want everybody to care about your situation. Well, let's talk care about our brother's situation because if you have a boy, you live in this country, this could happen to your son. This could happen to you. What about the grandmother was 70-something years old? She was listening to music, had her music up, and she was driving business, okay? And police got behind her, and the police said, the police said she probably can't hear her because she didn't stop. They said that, and when she did stop, they got this woman out the car. They pulled her by her hair, by her dress. She had locks. They pulled her by her locks, and they threw her to the ground. She's a 76-year-old, broke her arm, and Why would you treat somebody like that? What's the problem? This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with very angry white folks who don't like black folks. We understand. We call them race. Okay, we call them race soldiers. The Proud Boys have infiltrated the police department. The KKK have infiltrated the police department. Judicial system. Prosecutors, KKK, Proud Boys have infiltrated. Doctors, lawyers. They've given up the roads for suits, for black roads. They've given up the white ones for black roads. You think that man that sat up there and gave that boy 45 years for killing a police dog, do you actually believe that he was not part of the KKK? Do you really believe that? Who would give somebody 45 years for killing a damn dog? Was the dog biting him? I'd have killed him too. I'm just saying. Why did he kill the dog? Was the dog chasing him? Was he biting him? What? Was he attacking him? What was he doing? You don't see no dog. We're not slaves. You don't see no dog after us. I would have shot the dog too. I'm just saying. I'm scared for my life. I'm scared to be bit. I'm scared of dogs, period. Don't bring no dog color. He will get shot. I'm just saying. We're not finna do this. We have to get to the point to understand that we are here to support our own. We are here just like they supported Kyle Rittenhouse. That boy had a $2 million bail. The church saved up money, got money, collected money, and got him out. But we can't help our brother. They wouldn't even get him, won't even give him a bill. But we can get him a good lawyer. He needs a good lawyer right now. He can get off. He can get off of this because I just read what we're up against. We need to find out we need to find out little cop's name again. Here we go. Going back to the cop's name again. Okay? Jason Rayner. Do we have any private detectives? We need some information on this Jason Rayner person. We need information on him. We need to know what kind of cop was he. Was he fit to serve? Was he a drunk? Was he a drug addict? Did he have a record? Did he have an arm, a record long as my arm? Because if you're white, you can have a record long as your arm and still be a police officer. The union is protected. The union will protect. Even though these officers were bad officers, the union has been protecting them. One cop shot five people. The union protected him. He was a drunk. The union protected him. He was violent. The union protected him. These officers don't belong on forces. He had mental illness. He was rough. He was known to have a bad temper. He did not belong on a police force. Why is it we have the worst of the worst on police force? And some of these men gonna protect and serve. What the hell are they protecting and serving? Each other? Because that's what they're doing right now, protecting each other. They're not protecting black folks. They're not protecting us. Who gonna protect us from the police? Our defense. We need NFAC defense. I love the NFAC. You know, tell me. I don't care what y'all say about him. To me, he's not an agent. They shut him down. They shut his mouth for a reason. Because I'm going to tell you what. Things would not be looking like this if we had our own defense. we could call our own defense. When these cops came up, Ozone should have had somebody to call to back him up and say, hey, I got some police out here. I need some help. And they should have been out there just like that. When you see the police coming, they're getting their head wrapped. You call your buddies. You got you call the number 199 or 119 or whatever. And we get our forces out there to come out there to make sure that you're good. That's what should have happened. That's what black folks need. We know what we need to do, but we won't do it. We know what we need to do, but when are we going to do it? We know that we need to create our own. We know we need to create our own police force, defense force, but we won't do it. We still are calling them. Why are you calling your enemies to say, to do what? To shoot you? Because when you call them, they don't do anything. Just like the 15-year-old, she had a knife, and she was defending herself. These two grown down women were coming there to whoop on her, okay? And she said, She called the police, had a knife, wasn't trying to stab, because the one woman she was on top of, she could have stabbed her, but she didn't. She chose not to. She wanted to keep the woman off of her until the police got there. But what did the police do? He didn't get out asking no questions and say, hey, police, put the guy down. Nothing. He didn't tase her. He didn't do nothing. He went, shot her four times in the back. Why? She wasn't a threat to him, but he thought she was. But do you get out to ask any questions? You get out, hey, police, something. Get her attention. You don't just jump out, pop, pop, pop. You start shooting, and you don't know nothing. What is that? Is that how we do police work? Why don't the same rules apply for us and apply for them? Why can't we get the same, why can't you treat us the same like you treat everybody else? Why did you come to our neighborhood acting the fool, but then the white folks, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, please don't shoot, please put the gun down. I've seen one report where they was begging the man to put the gun down. Please, sir, please, sir, please put the gun down. Please put the gun down. Please, sir, he was white. And the man had a gun, an AR something, AR-15. And the police was begging that white dude to put the gun down. Begged him. But Tamir Rice, you shot him within seconds. You come out there shooting, blazing, guns blazing. The guy sitting up in the car, asleep. You didn't kill him. Shot him 55 times. Who shoots anybody 55? Why does it take? That's overkill. Why was nobody arrested for that? Overkill. 55 times? Why did you need this? What? Each person shot 10 times. They unloaded their guns like they was at a damn range. Because your gun holds 15. If you're a Glock, I think it holds, 10 or 12 rounds. And if it's like 10 officers, 55 times they shot him. 55 times. Why? Why? Why did you have to shoot him 55 times? I'm just saying. You didn't have to shoot the man 55 times. That's sad. That's pathetic. For you to shoot this man 55 times. 55 anything. And then with the girl with the knife, 15-year-old with the knife, they pull up and down. Oh, she did that. Why? Why does she need to die? They don't shoot. They don't kill white folks. They don't kill white folks who have guns in hand when they come. But they treat you like an animal. When they come on the scene, they ready. They got their gun drawn in hand. Who gonna shoot? Let's kill some niggas today. No. If it was you in Ozone's spot, in his shoes, and that police came up to your window and asked you, you live here? I don't know what he said, yeah? Or really none of his business. This is my D, whatever. Get out the car. What are we doing here? What are we doing? Did I do a crime? Do you see me committing a crime? Why are we going through all of this? Why are you bothering me? Do you see me? Do you go in the white neighborhood? Do they go in the white neighborhood and do this? No. Why? A lot of cops have gotten away with way too much over the years. They have to stop rewarding bad behavior and engaging these demons. You're right. They've been awarding bad behavior. African Tigers are just my condolences to your dad. I just saw where she put that her dad died. He had COVID and he died.
My condolences, sweetheart. That's, I just saw her. My whole attitude just changed. I feel really bad for her. Her dad passed. You guys go and donate to her. Go and show her some love. African Tiger. That's my girl. Her dad died. Very sad. Condolences. And she was traveling around Africa having the time of her life. She still can. But I know she got to agree for that. Life is so short, you guys. I look at it and I see that a lot of us go here, even in America, we're fighting against each other. We're fighting against white supremacy. And now we're going to Africa, Tanzania, and some of these countries, or Gambia, and all this, and we're fighting against the Africans. I'm like, well, where's our safe spot? A safe spot is whatever you make it. You go there, and you get acclimated with the people, and you allow the people to know that they can trust you. But you have to understand, we are taking, African-Americans are taking a lot of stuff. We've gone through a lot of trauma, a lot of hurt, a lot of hell, a lot of anger, a lot of rage here in America, and we take all that hurt with us and we go to Africa with. And then we're looking at them, and we're looking at them crazy. Because they have taught you how to just trust your own. They have taught us how to only look to them to be our savior. They have taught us how to only look to them to be the ones that are going to protect and take care of us. That's a lie. They ain't took care of us yet. Y'all coons, y'all going to be held accountable for every black leader that have a position in the White House or in D.C. or a mayor's position. A prosecutor's position, or judge, and you are not taking care of your own, you will pay the price. That man, they got 3 years, the judge was black, and the judge had to sign off on it. The white guy that shot the black boy in the back six times, the judge had to sign off on this, and the judge signed off on that criminal to get 3 years. He's black. Why? This is what I'm saying. We fight against each other. We fight against white supremacy. And we go to Africa now, we got to fight against them. No. Oh, I'm still going. I got my land. I'm still getting a little stuff together. We still going. I got to do some things. We still going. I want to make sure my money is good. I don't want to get over there because I want my own business. I want to do some things when I get there. So I can take a nice amount of money with me because I don't want to have to come back and work and do some other. I don't want to do that. I want to be able to do that and open up. But I'm thinking about, I have so many ideas. I have so many ideas that I want to do there, but maybe I'll just wait and see what's the best idea. So what's the cheapest one? I want Airbnb, let me do that first and then get me a restaurant. So we got a lot of African Americans there. Why can't we go there and have some soul food? Because I'm going to miss my little chickens, greens. I'm going to miss all that cornbread. Hey, why can't we have a soul food restaurant open up in every country in Africa? Because you got black folks, Americans in all of these. They eat a lot of starchy food, right? They eat a lot of starch. Where's your vegetables, okay? We need some cabbage. We need some cornbread. We need some greens. We need broccoli. We need our vegetables, okay? I do. My thing is, what kind of restaurant can we go over there and open up? What can we do? Where's our group economics? It's going to take more than one person maybe to open up a restaurant, or maybe you can do it by yourself. But I'm just saying, it is time for us to come together and appreciate each other. We got to stop looking at, we are so brainwashed that we don't even know we're doing it. We fight against each other for everything. I don't even think we understand. We've been doing that for years. I don't think we understand what we're doing. I don't think we notice that we're doing that. Or it's a known behavior, and it's an automatic behavior, and we just automatically want to attack. It's the mindset. We got to free our mindset, you guys, in order for us to be free. I don't want to take any of this hurt with me to Africa. I'm going with a clean slate. I'm going with a free mind. A clean slate, and I'm just going to go over there and enjoy my life. I'm not trying to have that white supremacy mindset. I don't want, and if I see them coming to me with it, I'm going to call them out. Girl, that's a white supremacy mindset. That's a colonized mindset. We need to get over that mindset, get through that mindset, and we need to start working together. Treat me the way you treat Chinese. Treat me the same way you would treat the Indians or the Arabs. Treat me the way you give me the benefit of the doubt that you're giving that Chinese man over there. If you can support his business, come over here and support mine. I'm your sister. I'm just saying. We're going to call it out. Because when I get there, yes, I'm going live. We're going to do some shows. You know, we're going to talk to some African folks. We're going to talk about this stuff that we hear and that's happening. We're going to talk about it. But right now, our brother needs us. I gave you the numbers. Our brother needs us. Don't forget my other channel, Our New Reality. It's what it's called, Our New Reality. I got it up there on the, I got it up here on my live. It says Our New Reality. That is our other show. And we will do the next week's show. We're going to do it on here, Racism in America. But the next two shows we're going to try to do on there. We're kind of go back and forth because I'm trying to build that one up. So if you have, if you're over here, go over there to Our New Reality. And I think I have a couple of titles up there over there. Lord, let me see. A couple of titles. Hold on. Let me look up. Hold on. I want to get a title. Because we've written down some stuff. Mental illness, okay? We did mental illness part, mental illness and mental health, okay? We've done part two, mental health part two. It's over there. Look on there under Our New Reality, and we have two shows that we've done. We've also done one on about the Capitol, okay, the Capitol riot, mental illness, how they display mental illness too, white folk and black folks display mental illness. And I do believe that we do have a mental illness. They have mental illness, and plus we have mental illness. And I do believe that it's from all the traumas that they put us through and all the traumas that they've allowed their children to watch. For instance, if you hang in a black man and you have, you know, you look and you allow your child to see this black man on, he's hanging and they're burning the man alive. Isn't that trauma for you? I mean, that would be trauma for me to watch you do that to a dog. Wouldn't it be trauma for you as a child to see your mom hanging or your dad hanging a black person and you're burning his body and he's screaming and howling like a, you know, wouldn't that be like trauma? Wouldn't that traumatizing your child? But this is what they're allowing our their children to see. So you have to understand the consequences of allowing your child to see that. It brings on mental illness, trauma and mental illness. And so we have to understand they're damaged just like we are, okay? So we're dealing with some damaged people. We are dealing with some very damaged people. But we have to take care of our stuff and we can't even be bothered with them right now. So this is why I say come from among, be separate, and learn out their ways. And a lot of times we're learning their ways as far as what's going on in the schools. We're allowing them to teach our children anything. And parents, you should be very ashamed of yourself. And we need something. You're homeschooling. I think Michi X had a homeschool that she was advertising, okay? If you were wanting to homeschool your child, you need to get busy doing that. And I know you have to need a babysitter. Some of you guys are working. There is a thing out there that's going to be developed, and they're going to hire some grandmas to come in and to hire. And you pay them like maybe what I think it's like $80 or $90 a week or $100 a week, and they, no matter how many children you have, and they will make sure that your child is online okay. They're understanding what they're doing. They're going to be making your lunch for your child, or you can make their lunch for your child. I think it's like an extra $20 or $10. No, it's $10 if they have to make your child's lunch, okay? But if you make the child's lunch and all they have to do is just, you know, just watch the child eat or whatever, make sure they get back on the computer on time, make sure they're asking, have no questions. I think that's a good investment, $100 a week for a grandma to come in your home while you're working and you're homeschooling your child. Or if your child is going in virtually, I think if you have smaller children, then that grandma would be worth your money, worth it every dime. We need to look into getting our children away from them because I do know that before your kids go back to school, they're going to want your child vaccinated. You're going to take the vax. Okay, I'm just saying. Okay, lollipop, how about that? So if you don't want your child to take the lollipop, you need to be looking into a home online schooling. Or homeschooling your child, and I think Mitch X was talking about that on her program. Excuse me, you guys. I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, this is a long day. Smile. I was having a long life. I don't like my life to be this long, but I'm getting ready to wrap it up. I didn't want to come on here and be here all day. I hope and pray that you thought about, I hope it wasn't too long for you, because I know we have a short, you know, we like to get in and out, but I couldn't shorten that. I tried, but even when I saw it, I was like, wow, this is long. But don't forget our brother. In the next show, next week, we're going to talk about Ortho Ozone Wallace. We're going to talk about what was he feeling that night when one of these terrorist thugs approaches you. You don't know if this man had issues prior. You don't know if this officer, I think Ryan had issues, or we don't know if, no, that's not the officer's name. We don't know if the officer Jason Rayner had mental issues? Was he a drunk? Was he on alcohol? Was he just coming to harass? Did he have some stuff on his mind? Was he just coming there to pick a fight, or was he coming there just to harass Ozone? Because I know those officers in the area knew Ozone. What was his intention? Okay. When you called 911, Charlie 777, before, when Ozone told you that he wasn't getting out of the car, or he told you that he, none of your business as far as if he lived there, did you just assume, okay, I'm going to give my boys here just in case, or we going to do some dirt now? Ozone, when he heard that, probably was thinking, why would you call a 911 now, or Charlie 777, and what does that mean? Because I didn't know what it meant. Did Ozone know what it meant? We don't know. But he's probably thinking, oh, no, before your boys get here, I'm not going out like that, you know? So we don't know what he was thinking. We don't know what the officer was thinking, but we do know that somebody ended up shot, but we don't know who shot that man. We don't know how did it happen. We have no idea what was what. But my thing is, we need to investigate Jason Rayner to find out what kind of officer he was, and we need to get his background check. We need to do his personnel file. We need to really see what kind of person Ozone was dealing with, okay? But I do hope that we support our brother. I'm not telling you to do nothing that I'm not going to do. I do believe that we need to be there for one another, because this could be your son. This could be you, okay? So let's start protecting one another right now. So when you need that protection, people will be there for you, okay? I hope and pray that you guys have thought about, and I hope I've made plenty of sense to help you to understand what we are dealing with on this police force. We are not dealing with sane people. We have mental people on our police force that do have mental illness. They're on drugs. They have records. So what kind of officer was Jason Rayner? That's what we need to find out. With that said, family, I am not going to be on here long. I'm going to end it. And I want you guys to take care and have a great rest of your day. Peace and blessings. And this is our time. Let's build our new reality. With that said, peace, family. Thanks for joining, and we'll see you back here next Tuesday, 11:30. All right, Blog Talk, I didn't forget you. I do appreciate you guys for hanging on in there, and I hope and pray that that I made some sense. I hope and pray that we didn't bore you. I hope and pray that you're thinking about what we talked about. I hope and pray that you have thought about what we're really up against, okay? We are up against some real stuff here. We are up against some very concerning people who is displaying some very concerning behaviors. And I hope and pray that you, let's just do our homework and let's learn how to support our brother, and let's support him, okay? I've given you information as far as who to call, who to talk to, and I've given you the phone numbers if you want to go on my live. It is under Cathedral Cheek. Make sure that I'm offline. Yes. Yeah, I wanted to leave. Okay, I wanted to make sure. And our next scheduled program is going to be next Thursday. I have it down for 11:30, and we're going to talk about Ortho Ozone Wallace felt his life was in jeopardy. That is what we're going to talk about next week. And I want you guys to join me. And I do appreciate everybody that joined today. And just think about what we've talked about, okay? Just think about if that was you in that car and that police officer had walked up to you, and you know now what kind of police officers they're hiring, what would your behavior, what would your actions be, okay? All right, family. We're not going to waste any more of your time. We're not going to bore you anymore. But thank you for joining, and why don't you like and share. You can go on YouTube and catch me on Sister Cheek, and
Yeah, we're going to see you next Tuesday at 11:30. Peace, family.